Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the Big Bob halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'm going to get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle keep popping that water, man.
Welcome into episode 151 of 11 Personnel. That's right. We've done 150 of these bad boys. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. And the last time we talked, we had no idea it was episode 150, or we might have made a big stink about it. But we're too busy grinding, man. Just plugging away in the middle of the grind.
Surprisingly busy week here for us, Nick. Recruiting camps had us swamped, I would say, this week. We a lot of recruiting content on the old.com site here at KSR.
Yeah, if it wasn't for us, I don't know how many I don't know how much stuff would even be on the site. It was a lot of just recruiting content.
Little pat ourselves on the back moment, but we had someone there at each camp.
Yeah.
That's not something any other media entity had.
Boom.
So you had boots on the ground here at KSR as we're diving into some football recruiting stuff. And there was a lot of stuff I think we learned here in this last, I'd say, 10 days during these camps. We've got a big post that came out lunchtime Wednesday, kind of going over all that. And I think that's something we're going to touch on here, Nick. I think we can go ahead and probably start at quarterback because that's obviously the big thing here.
Yeah, let's start at quarterback. And I think at one point felt like there were two or three guys. Now it feels like Kentucky is down to just one. And that would be none other than Danny O'Neill over at Indianapolis Cathedral. Dante Reno did not make it to campus this summer. South Carolina has gotten him on campus. Feels like that one is about all she wrote. And O'Neill did not camp, but he did make an unofficial visit. And if I were to handicap these races, it's okay. Reno's going to go down to South Carolina, and it's kind of 50-50 between Purdue and Kentucky for O'Neill services. He's from Indianapolis Cathedral, so that's close to Purdue. I'm not over here tooting my cousin's horn, but they're pretty good with quarterbacks. So you could understand why he might want to stay closer to home and go to the Boilermakers. O'Neill, it's one of those where he's not this, I don't think he's a surefire home run Luckett, but there's a lot to like about O'Neill's game.
Yeah. First things first, I would say on Reno, I put in an RPM pick for him to South Carolina. That's kind of our on three version of the crystal ball, but there is Dylan Lonergan is a top 100 quarterback recruit in the class of 2023. South Carolina is trending for him. So if they landed him, that could get interesting. So that's just something to keep in mind. And then for O'Neill, I think important thing to note, pick out here is if it is a Kentucky-Purdue battle, which is what it's seeming like at the moment, Purdue signed a Brady Allen, who's a top 125 recruit in the class of 2022, who'll be a true freshman this year. Ricky Collins, who's a top 200 prospect, is in the class of 2023. So that's two bona fide four-star prospects in the two classes above O'Neal. That's kind of a loaded room.
Mm-hmm.
So that you would have to think that will work in Kentucky's favor here. Now, I think the worry here is he's waiting for his junior. He wants to put his junior tape out there before he decides. So you're worried if he kind of blew up this season and then some bigger schools come calling. That would be, I think, the concern here with him.
Yeah.
But it's clear that Kentucky has lasered their focus in on O'Neal.
His height, he's only about – he's 6 foot nothing.
Mm-hmm. Our database lists him at 6'0", right?
Yeah. And that, you know, could even be generous. So ultimately it'll probably keep a lot of the big dogs in there, but you never know. Somebody might just really like what the kid does on his tape. They'll overlook an inch or two if they really believe in him. But I think if you do have a bummer, more so than anything, it's just playing the waiting game, because Kentucky has not done a great job in the past of locking down those quarterback commitments early and kind of building a class around him. So, you know, that is a downer, but you got to just play the wait and see game. You got to let the cake bake with some of these guys, and who knows, he might put out bad tape and then you end up backing away because you don't like what you see. So
yeah,
it works both ways.
The important thing here is, there's a need for secondary targets, I think, would be my biggest concern at the moment. We haven't really seen that happen. Eric Hanley was a 2023 guy who visited. We've been told that that's not going to happen, not a take. And that was really only 2024 quarterback, 2024 quarterback Eric Hanley, same class as O'Neal. And that was really kind of – we didn't see many other 2024 quarterbacks there. And if you go back to last summer, they had Chris Fasina didn't camp, but he visited. He did the same thing as O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Parson camped. Brock Glenn camped. Parson's going to Florida State. Glenn is down to Auburn, TCU, and Ohio State. He's just throwing their hat in the ring. But then you also have Raheem Jeter, who committed to West Virginia. You had another quarterback, Grayson Loftus, I believe his name. He committed to Duke. So you had other guys there, other Power Five quarterback talents there. I don't know that they had that this year. And then you add in that O'Neal didn't camp. He's never camped at Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's not – I don't think – he camped at Purdue. He camped at Alabama. He's going to some other bigger schools to camp. That's not great. But then there's also the fact that they're building relationships with people closely connected to him. Four-star defensive tackle or defensive end prospect Kendrick Gilbert, scheduled to officially visit Kentucky this weekend. He plays at Cathedral, class of 2023. C3 Elite is the 7-on-7 team O'Neal plays for. They were at camp on Monday, a busload of them, 5 to 6 guys.
Yeah, including one kid, Aeneas Williams, who was wearing sunglasses while he was running routes on air, which was just – that was something.
And Gangarello was in that group's hip pocket the entire day. They were out there.
Yeah, did they end up offering the Terrence Marshall kid?
Yes, he got an offer.
Yeah, he was.
He's one to watch there from Neesville, Florida, I believe.
Navarre.
Navarre, Florida.
Yeah.
He's one to watch there. I thought he looked good.
Uh-huh. He's a twin. He's got a twin that's a DB. That's one of those where you're like, we'll offer you both even if the other doesn't play it.
Reportedly tested very well. So he's a guy, I think, to watch there. And obviously the O'Neal connection will be big there. He's another 2024 kid. They had a lot of good, I thought, receivers coming to camp. Really, from a position standpoint, what they got on campus for receiver and edge
was,
that was really, really good.
Edge was impressive. And I think that's kind of shows the power of Brad White. It also shows, too, just some of the positional strengths in upcoming classes in the region, because, you know, you can only get so many people that – from within a kind of – a lot of these kids are just making day trips, you know, out of this. So where you're seeing is you had the kid from Boyle County, Brock Driver. You know, he looks like he's going to be –
2025. He'll be a sophomore this year.
Right. He's going to be a talent to watch. The kid from Youngstown, Brian Robinson, you know, that's a one-day trip.
He's going to be a guy.
He's going to be a dude. There was another kid too. That one was from Georgia. He was a little bit farther away, but he looked like he had the frame. There's just a lot of good athletes at that position from not too far away. And I mean, that's your
Montre Bradford was a kid from Statesboro, Georgia, who visited, and they got to go in the facility after, which that usually means that, you know, they're interested in you if they invite you into the facility
after. Right. Right.
Two big ones here since we're on Edge. Colin Fox is a 2024 kid from Georgia. He did not camp, but he was here at their showcase camp on Sunday, the 12th. That was their biggest event. They had the most talent. He was there. He was had the full attention of Brad White. They were talking a lot. But one guy who was there, who we knew was coming, but ended up surprising people by actually working out, was Arvell Reese. Four-star prospect in 2023, Cleveland, Glenville High School. Thing to know about Glenville, it is the ultimate Ohio State pipeline. It is to Ohio State what mail usually is to Louisville. Like, if you go to Glenville and you're good, you usually end up at Ohio State. Marcus Lattimore went there. Ted Ginn's dad is coach there. It's a laundry list of guys there. It's unclear at this point if Reese is going to be a full-on take, I think, for Ohio State. It's the thought process there. If he's not, Kentucky's got a real good chance to land him. He visited here twice, Lexington, in the last 2 months. And like I say, if they're participating in camp, I think that's a really good sign.
Yeah, yeah. And that was part of you, like you said, you had a long post of kind of camp takeaways, and I had the most dumbed down version of it. Like, here's kind of how things work. The dynamics of these camps are odd in that the overwhelming majority of kids there are just, you know, it'd be like me and you showing up to camp when we were in high school. We weren't Power Five prospects or anything, but you can learn stuff, and it, you know, $40, you know, it's pretty good deal for an afternoon working out with UK coaches. What I thought was what I forgot was significant to add, just that, like, most of these guys that show up that are these big Power Five D1 prospects, they're there just to be recruited by the coaches, not necessarily work out.
Right.
The Reese camping shows that Kentucky is a legitimate player here, and that he also is kind of eager to see what Brad White can do for him. So I was surprised that he camped with Kentucky.
Multi-positional talent. He was working with Mike Stoops, off-ball linebacker, and then with Brad White's son at edge. He's probably like 6'2", between 6'2 and 6'3". He's going to play probably at 235, 240. You're going to see if he can play outside linebacker. But he's a legitimate player. I mean, he's a legitimate high-conference guy that you could see turning into an NFL draft pick. That guy's a player. And so that's going to be one of the bigger targets on Kentucky's board. So watching him over the years is going to be interesting to watch. He's going to be a guy they're going to try to get on campus fall for a big game, official visit, and try to get through that Ohio State battle and see where Ohio State lands on some of their linebacker targets. Like, Ohio State's all in on this kid, Tackett Curtis Nick, at linebacker. He's from Louisiana. I think he's their number one target. They're probably going to get him. If they get him, then they don't know. I think how it's shaken out is you don't really know how Reese is going to fit after that. They just have to see how their class goes. So that's kind of where things stand. And so if the thing bounces right for you, that could be a really, really nice ad, I think, for Kentucky if they can get Arvell Reese.
Well, and to kind of segue, that's brings up a good point, because Kentucky has not had a ton of recruiting success in the state of Ohio as far as securing commitments thus far. That could be changing soon, but a couple guys that were on UK's radar recently also popped to Cincinnati. Amari Snowden was one of the few guys in Detroit that the Cats were trying to cling onto that area, even though Klingscale left. But Snowden left an official visit to Cincinnati by committing to the school. Kamari Burns, who I don't think was ultimately a take at Kentucky, but they had talked to quite extensively. He ends up going to Cincinnati. But like I said, though, that could change. Reese is the big one, but there's also a kid visiting this weekend, Anthony Brown. correct me if I'm wrong, Lucky, but he was on that same kind of weekend trip official visit with Snowden to Cincinnati, correct?
That is correct. Last week in the 10th.
He was initially going to officially visit 2 weeks ago, ended up going to the state track meet, but he's a four-star receiver with a lot of juice, a lot of explosiveness. Back-to-back weekends, they've had similar talent, following up with Carmelo English. Could be some good news on the horizon for the UK wide receivers room.
Yeah, I think the signs are kind of pointing for Brown, and I kind of peg him as English. I think they're very similar prospects. I think they're true slot receivers. They're going to come in and play slot and do the stuff you need out of a slot receiver. Both do a very good job kind of ball tracking the ball on vertical concepts. Where they're really going to make some damage is using their short area quickness and burst to get open in the intermediate areas. So there's a lot to like there. Brown, a former Minnesota commit, Nick, it's by all accounts, it's down to Kentucky, Cincinnati. He got out of that OV at Cincinnati without committing. He's coming to Kentucky this weekend. I think there's a very good chance that gets locked up. And I think there's real buzz for Carmelo English. He announced he was going to decide or announced his college choice on July 2nd. Doesn't have an official to Auburn plan. We've talked about Auburn and all their transition, what's going on there. I think there's a very good chance that Kentucky is the school there when he announces next month. So some good things trending right now, right there.
I mean, announcing that you have a decision date while you're on an official visit to a school. I don't know what tea leaves you can read that are better than that in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
I mean, unless – I mean, it's almost – I'd put it right up there with you have the really nice hat right next to two ones that you just got from the gas station. The kind of tall
right, sign. Yeah.
That feels like a tall-tale sign that is going to be Kentucky. I hope that is the case. But like you said, we will find out right before Independence Day on July 2nd for Carmelo English. We already did. I mean, that was some good news to come from last weekend's official visitors. But we didn't mention the one that actually already has popped. Austin right. Ramsey, nicknamed The House, which just a great name for an offensive lineman. He announced his commitment to Kentucky Monday afternoon, a Philadelphia native. Justin Rowland made this point the other day. Feels like Kentucky's doing the same pitch they used to in Ohio with a lot of kids in this region, and it's working. You got Fearbree, you got Noah
Matthews. Well, the DMV there for a little bit.
Yeah.
A little run they had the DMV.
They're saying, hey, let's hit the mid-Atlantic is what they're calling. I just have always called it the East Coast, but I guess that's more specific. And it's working. It's rocking and rolling. And this kid, he's as big as a house. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And they got another Philly kid, Nikhil Beatran, Colorado commitment. That's probably not going to last much longer. He's OV into Kentucky this weekend. Kentucky was in the top 10. He had Georgia and Auburn recently issue offers. So they're going to try to make a play for him. But back to Ramsey, yeah, I think he's 6'4", 6'5", 360 pounds. When you turn on the tape, though, he can move for that weight. So for him, keeping the weight in check is probably going to be the biggest challenge, but you could see him translating. And potentially, you know, you're sticking him at guard, seeing him with maybe Keontae Goodwin on one side of the line of scrimmage long term. Yeah, that's fun to think about.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
The movement they're going to be able to create at the line of scrimmage.
Well, and then you add in the kid who, I mean, he's unranked. Sean Tompkins from Georgia. He was a kind of a surprise visit on Monday night. He got into town.
Going to Florida this weekend for another movie.
I mean, so
the Baylor.
He's an under the radar type guy, but he's really big. And when you watch his tape,
3'10".
Yeah, he gets that second level well when running outside zone kind of stuff. So we at least know the type that Zach Yenser likes, and that's big as hell. Yeah,
size and mass, length seems to be pretty important here. For Tompkins, Nick, that kid just – he doesn't do any interviews. So there's really nothing out there on him. His
Twitter account's private.
Yeah.
tried to follow, but
– So we're just going by what, you know, what we can find out via some of these coaching staffs. And yeah, Kentucky's throwing their hat in that ring. I think Yenser is doing a good job as far as offensive line guys, getting guys they want on campus. Malachi Wood camped twice here, and that's one is a surprise. Two is a big surprise to me that they can't that he camped twice. I'm wondering if they if there's something they need to see more of with him.
Yeah, yeah, because he has the height and the length.
The thing with me when seeing him in person is, can he hold the weight? Can he get up to the weight you need him to get at?
I mean, he almost looks like a tight end because he's
that is the frame is a little it's kind of narrow a little bit, but he is tall, he is long, he can move. If he can hold, if he can get up to a proper weight and hold it, I think the ceiling is very, very, very high. I mean, I think it could be as high as anyone in the class. It's, can he get there? I think that's the big question with him.
A lot of eggs, a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Which
the thing you have to worry about is just because of that, he just doesn't. Like I said, he looked like a guy who should be playing, you know, small ball five in the MAC when I went when I saw him in person on a basketball court, not necessarily a left tackle. So the question is, can he – is 275 like the max? Is that all he can hold? Can he get to those three that three bill number?
And that's not – I mean, Ox is 275, and he looks like he weighs 180. You know what I mean? That's not a – that's not a big ask, or it shouldn't be a big ask, and that's where – Wood needs to get. I do. Well, it got me thinking. It would be kind of fun to do the like offensive lineman diet for like a few days just to see how much how fat we could get. You know, because not. I mean, I'm not. I'm in the should probably lose a few pounds territory. Let's try to eat right. But I'm also in the. You know what? I can go a week with just. Trying to be as fat as possible. And I think we would be very good at it. We could teach these kids how to gain weight. Would it be healthy? I don't know, but I don't put it past me to wake up at 2:30 in the morning to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They're delicious. And in fact, I think I could certainly use a couple more PBJs in my life.
We're hurting here at the Luckett House with the old Jif news.
Oh, are you, you exclusively a Jif family?
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm a generic, always very hardcore on the generic brand. But one thing we do treat ourselves to, we've got a nearby farmer's market each Saturday morning. And there's a farm in Valley Station, Pendleton Farm. They make a peanut butter that they mix with honey. It's real sweet. And it's the bee's knees, quite literally. The bees use their knees to make it.
Got a grocery trip coming up. Probably tomorrow, I'm going to have to go alternate. I'm not sure where I'm going to go, but that's a hard break for me. I've been Team Jif since birth.
I would – if you're going to go
alternate,
use the – get the Kroger brand with the honey in. Don't just get the regular one. It's too boring. I would also say skip out on Skippy. It's very greasy.
I don't like Skippy.
Yeah.
It's dog peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you feed your dog medicine.
Yeah. Or Peter Pan. No. Well.
Oh, man. Peanut butter talk. Can't go better. I completely forgot about that, too. My neighbors reminded me of that. It's a real shame. Real shame. Get it together, Lexington. Come on. This is on you guys for not getting your stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the peanut butter factory in Lexington should smell more like peanut butter and less like whatever it smells.
I don't think I've ever been there.
But you never caught that smell, though, around campus?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just it only happens every once in a while. But sometimes you get that whiff from Winchester Road, and it just – I don't know. It's a little off-putting. I don't know if it's the – if it's the gears in the factory. I don't know what it is, but something's just – it's not the fresh peanut smell that I would.
Doesn't smell as good as it tastes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I want it to be the smell that when you open the jar, that sort of aroma, I guess the crushing peanuts doesn't have that same aroma. So I don't know. Well, get it figured out, Lexington. Luckett needs is Jif. And you know what? This seems like a good spot for us to take a break, regroup and get back on track. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more football, but also, what everybody's been waiting for, Luckett's U.S. Open picks. All right, we press pause. We're back. We're ready to roll. A couple more big time official visits coming up this week, and Christian Conyer is the name of the game. And look, we're in a weird territory because a lot of it feels like both sides very confident. I got worried when I saw Chad Simmons, our resident on three guru, put in a pick for Conyer to Tennessee. But it's bizarre. I have one in for Conyer to Kentucky because the folks that I've talked to on Kentucky side feel pretty good about it. He's got official visits to both to wrap things up before he makes his announcement that 4th of July weekend. So even though it feels like Tennessee's gathering momentum, I'm not ready to flip my pick until after I've heard more from his official visits.
We'll have to see how this weekend goes, but Tennessee got the last official. There's obviously the big NIL collective down there. He's that 7-on-7 team or whatever is strictly based in Tennessee. It seems to be pro Tennessee potentially. In the picture he posted, it's been pointed out online that he is doing that Tennessee hand signal that all their commits have been doing. So
if I were
for what it's worth,
that one worries me the least. And surprisingly, the nil thing I'm less worried about because I know he's not going to be getting the bags that the rest of the 2023 Tennessee guys are getting.
I think it's important to point out here, Carnell Tate is one of their top targets, top 25 wide receiver. He's been seen as a Tennessee lean. He's at IMG via Chicago. But out at Vegas at this OT7 event, Ohio State starting to get a lot of buzz. Brian Hartline is the dude when it comes to closing on wide receivers. You just heard Ryan Day call out some people at Ohio State that they need the NIL collective bumped up.
Uh-huh.
If they lose him, that could create some salary cap space. So maybe they up the ante a little bit there.
Fair enough. But the 7-on-7 team does worry me. Just the regular influence of the people you're around, it doesn't always translate. But having those ties and having his 7-on-7 coaches in good with the other program, that worries me. The handlers, all the other stuff,
it's just felt this entire time that he was just a slight Tennessee lean, just a slight one.
Mm-hmm.
He went down there for their huge little junior day where they had all their big commits or big targets were there. It's a lot of buzz with that. Like you said, you add in kind of the Tennessee relationship. He seems like a Tennessee lead to me. I haven't made a pick yet, but if I had to pick, I would pick Tennessee today. And so we'll see how this OV goes to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of, like, to me, there's just a lot of small signs that say it's going to be Tennessee and not Kentucky, but we'll see.
Yep. And if that doesn't work out, it'd be another swing and a miss on the cornerback front.
But at the end of the day, I want to say that Conyer is a 3-star cornerback. They can find, like, they're going to be able to replace that. You know, you don't want to lose in-state prospects to Tennessee. That's where it burns, but it's early. You can find out, I think, a replacement level for that. I don't think it's backbreaking if they lose him to Tennessee. But there is pressure on them to start recruiting better at that position. There's no doubt about that.
Like, if you get Stafford, I know that one's a long shot, but that's an upgrade over Conyer. And, you know, you're going to get more than one. You need to get more than one.
Jakeem Jackson's another cornerback they're in on. He's on a 2-day unofficial visit right now. It's a heated recruitment. Auburn, Florida, a few other schools are in there. If you can make that happen potentially. I mean, he's one of the fastest rising recruits on the circuit right now. Like, that kid's going to end up being probably a consensus top 250 recruit. And so they're in on some guys. One thing I do want to mention here, Nick, like, one of my takeaways this week was, like, Chris Collins and Scott Woodward, I think, are doing a good job getting guys on campus and building relationships. Obviously, Merrow has been done a great job. He's getting all the in-state kids, any prominent in-state kid that they need to get a look at. They're getting in camp and they're getting measurements and in-person evals on them. We saw the two Douglas offensive linemen who are going to be juniors were both camping. DeMeco Kennedy got an offer, mainly because I think he tested really well. And you saw some other guys, in-state guys on campus. So that's a good box to check. But you got to do that in other areas you recruit to. And I think Collins and Woodward did that. Saw a bunch of guys from Tennessee camping at Kentucky.
A Chattanooga group that I forget what they're – NPA or something?
CPA. Not CPA. It's like – yeah, it's something like that.
NPA. National – NPA. That sounds right. Which I just want to put my flag in the ground and be an old man. I hate that shit. Pardon my French, but, God, the 7-on-7 stuff, it just drives me nuts. Because, like, it's one thing if it's AAU basketball. 7-on-7 football is not a football game. AU basketball, you're playing the game of basketball. 7-on-7 is not. It's a good way to and it's fun. But we're starting to really put this stuff on a pedestal, and it's just not. It's not game like. There's no threat of getting your ass taken out going across the middle of the field. There's no threat on the quarterback where he has to get the ball out of his hands. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like it. I hate and. It's really cranked it up a notch with these teams traveling around all over the place competing in events.
It's the grassroots circuit version of football recruiting.
Don't like it.
I mean, you had the huge event out in Vegas.
Yeah, that thing's gotten big. The Adidas one was already pretty big.
With NIL, Nick, and now like shoe companies can get involved, and there's extra handlers with kids getting agents. See, it's going to be
More handlers. I don't like it. You're gonna get more
this time next year.
It's all the stuff I don't like. It's all the stuff that Freddie really hates, and they're just like cranking it up 20 notches.
Yep. I mean, it's here to stay. Here next year, summer, I bet we'll be going to some 7-on-7.
Yeah.
And covering them. That's where it's headed. But it is what it is. Now, the one Boo Carter is in, the big 2024 receiver.
He's good. He's
really that's
good.
More that to my knowledge, that's more of like a Chris Vaughn aspirations type thing.
Okay. So that's like a gym instead of just like we're playing on a team. Gotcha.
I believe
gotcha.
Buck Fitzgerald, his name. He played at Tennessee. He just, if you're a good player in Tennessee, Nashville, Chattanooga area, you're working out with Buck Fitzgerald. That's where you're going. And so that's Barry Brown was connected there, obviously. That's kind of like they built a relationship with him in that group, kind of like they built a relationship with Vaughn and aspirations. And so, obviously, Nashville blowing up, I think Kentucky's done a good job building that relationship, and that's why you're getting a lot of those Nashville kids. Now, the C3 elite team, that's just that team that Danny O'Neill's on, that's just – I mean, they're grabbing dudes from everywhere. They got dudes from Florida, dude from Missouri – quarterback from Indy, and they're probably traveling around to play 7-on-7 tournaments.
Imagine as a parent.
And they're probably sponsored by Under Armour or something who's funding that behind the scenes.
But just the logistics of that sound like a nightmare. I mean, no, just play with your damn team that's right here. Why are you going from Florida? Yeah.
I think the value of it is, you know, if you can get on it, you just be seen by more coaches. Because we talked to some people this week, Nick, like at Kentucky – like South Carolina has an advantage over Kentucky here because you can make a day trip from anywhere in Georgia to Columbia. You know, you can drive there and home in a day.
Yep. Atlanta, you can pull Charlotte.
Atlanta, South Georgia, any all those places. Where at Kentucky, it's just hard. You know, to get a kid from Atlanta, they need to stay the night.
Yeah.
The only place you have two hubs, Cincinnati and Nashville, that can pull it in a day.
They did Columbus. There was a lot of kids from Owen Tangi.
That team, judging by what I saw from the camp, they had a quarterback that I thought was solid who ended up being like MAC level. They had a defensive tackle, Angelo McCollum, 2024, who's going to be a guy to watch.
There's a tight end that was just visiting.
There's a tight end, I think 2024, that Vince Merrill really likes. That team Gavin should have a little Grover. Squad.
Yeah. This should be good. So as you mentioned, that is a little bit of a disadvantage, but you still get those traveling recruiting teams or whatever that are out there getting their exposure. So I can't necessarily blame them, but it's just, that's me just being all bah humbug. Let me be an old man yell at clouds for a little bit.
And that NPA, Cutter Bowley is connected to that. He's done some work with them. He just transferred to Lexington Christian. He'll be a sophomore this year. This kid's got a chance, I think, to really blow up, Nick. He just went to a mega camp up in Michigan. Got offers from Missouri, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Clemson are sniffing around. Already has an offer from Ole Miss. Ole Miss is another school that apparently has a good relationship with that MPA, a training organization. That's going to be a guy to look out for. Because if you get him, then you might, that's going to help you with some of these receivers, Boo Carter, specifically, who's going to be a big target in 2024. It can't hurt that he's playing at LCA and Tim Couch's son is on the team, and Tim Couch is going to be around that team a lot.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. Think.
And Tim Couch's son, I thought Chase Couch, he's got a really good frame. Like, he's a legit 6'4". He's probably about 225-ish right now.
And he's only, what, he can move freshman well. Last year? So he's
He'll be 20. A junior this year. He's 2024 class. But he could grow into being like a 6'4", 260-pound defensive end, I think. I don't know if he'll end up being a Kentucky good, but he's going to play somewhere. So he's going to be a legitimate recruit in that 2024 class. So that's going to be something to watch for. LCA Quiley's got kind of a stacked team there.
Well, and I saw too, John Charman's son Joe was he was working out of Troy for Summerall this week. He's 2024 center who's going to at least check some boxes. He's one if he doesn't end up getting those offers, he's certainly going to end up being a walk on at UK. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But yeah, LCA, they're kind of loading up. LCA, Boyle County. Oh God, I also Boyle just County. Feel so bad for Dakota Patterson.
Yeah.
Kid at one time was, you know, top 200 recruit. His coach leaves. Things aren't going well. Corbin transfers to Boyle County. And then, I mean, second rep, he goes down with a knee injury. Still not sure what the deal is. Yeah. That's tough.
People said they heard a pop. Didn't look good. So just thoughts. I mean, things can change fast. A year ago, Nick, he was looking like a legitimate SEC prospect. And then bad year on the field, and yeah, he lost some weight. I think he got sick or something. Yeah, so thoughts out to him. Hopefully that's not too serious. That would really, really stink. You got some news there?
Yeah. Jacob Dixon, he picked up an offer today.
Oh, wow. 2023 receiver.
Yeah.
ERP. He had some major, major traits. Really good vertical, really good 40 on a 6'3", 6'4 frame. So Elijah Reed came out of nowhere, PRP last year. This could be a new one this year. Now, one thing I'll have to say here is like they're in really good shape at receiver recruiting. So I'd be interested in the numbers there. You know, how many, you know, they're going to get, if they get Carmelo English and Anthony Brown, they probably need another outside guy. Maybe that's Dixon.
Well, and yeah.
And they already have Shamar Porter, though. That's three. So how many guys you need there? Let's look at their Scott. Let's look at the numbers here on the roster.
Well,
you got 10 scholarship receivers. They're going to lose Tavion Robinson is the only one guaranteed to be gone after the season.
I think he would like to be
at 12.
Tay's going to be gone.
They probably have room for four. They could probably do four. Dixon might be the fourth there.
The big thing is he does something different that the other two have.
He's an outside X receiver probably.
Yeah. I think the reason why they invited him back is because they did have some talented defensive backs on campus today, which we can kind of get into briefly. But the in-state kids in 24, pretty good. And there was a kid from Bryan Station. Can you write my brain? His name is
JT
something. He's a good secondary man or good defensive back, I should say. Zach Gagan was out there for KSR and they were going one-on-one the whole time, getting good on good reps. And, you know, it looks like Davis won enough. JT Haskins. There we go. Looks like Davis won enough to ultimately end up getting the trigger pulled and get a scholarship offer. I mean, I think he had only had a EKU offer going into this. So really happy for him. Basketball player and a track and field guy, so he never did the camps. This is the first time a lot of college coaches have even seen him. So,
and that's why these camps are important, because you find guys like that. Haskins has an offer from Louisville, but second offer in a week for him. Smells
he'll probably
like
get one
potentially coming.
Yeah.
So he's a guy to watch in 2024 quietly. That class is there were some developments in that class this week. The North Harden receiver was at the camp you were at that first Sunday.
Yeah, he had some good numbers. Me. Sean Dixon.
He tested very well. You got the two Douglas offensive linemen that are going to be of note. You got Haskins there. Obviously, Gavin Chadwell has been a popular name in that class. So there's some guys in that 2024 group, and there'll probably be more to emerge as the season develops. So that's something to watch there. So really, these camps are really, really important for those future guys. But it's also nice when they can get some of these 2023 guys, like these guys that are going to be seniors. That camp can tell you how serious the interest is if they can get those guys to camp. That's why I think the Arvell Reese, like, again, was such a huge development, getting him in there.
Man, this has been fun. It's been fun. I wasn't always big on the recruiting camps, but particularly this year, you know, you spend half your time just kind of talking ball with people, with, you know, like whether it's high school coaches like Haddix or Nate McPeak or, you know, some of the other guys around, or if it's just GAs and managers or whatever it may be, it's kind of fun just to talk ball.
Yeah, you get to get names to faces too.
Right. Especially after we've been on Zoom so much with COVID. So overall, really enjoyed the last 2 weeks. One other thing I heard talking to, I've been hearing this a lot, and I just want to put it out there because it's just so funny to me. The coaches in the state of Kentucky, the high school coaches, they hate U of L so much. They hate him so much. It's so funny.
Micah Carter, Louisville St. X.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman. I think he ended up – he was kind of a maybe tweener for Kentucky. The weight, I think, was maybe an issue with him or the size. So mm-hmm. Kentucky backed off there. But it came down to seem like Purdue and Louisville, and he goes to Purdue.
The big
so thing. Yeah, they're just not, you know, they're recruiting Texas and California, but they're not having any buzz or success at home, which should be, that's a warning sign.
A big problem that one coach had, they put on a coaches clinic, and I don't know if it was just the Louisville, like for the coaches in the city of Louisville, or if it was throughout the state, but they invited all of the power programs. I think Jeff Brohm was the keynote, and they brought somebody else. I want to say Vince was there for UK. And Louisville just sent like a GA, you know? And it's like, that just kind of shows you their priorities. You know what I mean? They just, don't really care.
Woody Womack over at Rivals, one of their national guys, Nick, he put in a future cast for that Reuben Owens kid, that top 25, top 30 running back. They're having their big official visit this weekend. So who knows? That kid's not getting out of Texas. I mean, the A&M collective.
Yeah, he put him for A&M. Yeah, yeah.
The A&M collective, and Chad Simmons had some scoop out of Vegas this week that he doesn't see him getting out of Texas. It's going to be an A&M-Texas battle for him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's coming to Louisville this weekend. There's going to be some buzz out of that. You know, he might be a commitment watch, but he's going to be very, very –
it'll be a temporary thing.
Yeah. It'll be a big spatula recruit as the process – moves on, but yeah, with a lot of buzz right now. I mean, they're probably going to get a commit or two from this weekend, and you know, they've got some good things going. That Neil collective that I think Junior Bridgman is running for them is making some major noise, plus the Steve Clarkson and Adidas connection, wherever that is down the line. But
Kobe Keenum's the one this weekend you'd like to see get away without making a decision, because yeah, Kentucky likes him at center, you know, just you'd like to see that one.
His tape was really, really good. I really liked him. I think that'd be nice to get him in there. I think Drake Jackson was helping Yenzer there on that recruitment. So, obviously, that's a center, selling a center, a recent center.
Yep.
Plus, you know, the offensive line and all that. But, yeah, Louisville's got a lot of buzz right now. So, you have to see how that develops. But all that buzz, but nothing in-state. It's just very weird.
Yeah, it's so needed to take that jab. We'll make fun of them more next week. Don't worry. I like to just get in some time to make fun of Louisville. And what I'm really looking forward to, you telling me who I should pick to win the U.S. Open, because Luckett, you helped me get in the money in my little pool last time for the PGA. We let you take a victory lap. Some of those locks were incredible. is Will Zalatoris, is he finally gonna get over that hump?
Yeah, so let's get into it here, Nick. A couple things first. All right, Major's moving to NBC, so no Jim Nantz this week.
Wait, what? NBC?
Yeah, NBC has the U.S. Open and the British Open. So NBC is going to be on the coverage this week.
This guy, too, he has the voice that's always on the Olympic stuff. And it's just he's just okay. I think they used to have TPC, too, right?
Yeah, the Players is on NBC, too.
Yeah. So, like, and he's just, you know.
I know you're talking. I know exactly who you're talking about. I just Jimmy Roberts, maybe.
I think his name is Brian something. Because doesn't he do some NBA as well? I don't know if we're thinking of the same guy.
Yeah, well, Tirico will be their big guy. They bring him.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Gosh, I'm still. It's going to take me a while to get used to him on Sunday night too.
And so so this will be a head start on that. Number one, you have to get that Peacock. This is the time to buy Peacock if you want to.
Oh, no.
Early in the morning, the coverage will be on Peacock, okay? I pull up the coverage schedule right here. Have this linked in the post for all you good people so you can know.
Dan Hicks, I think.
Dan Hicks, yes. He's on just, all the Golf Channel coverage, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just kind of boring.
So if you wanted to tune in early, Nick, before 9:30, you have to go to Peacock. But 9:30 to 5, it's or 9:30 to 7, it's on regular TV.
Oh, not bad.
USA in the morning, mid-afternoon, NBC, and then USA again. And then it kind of stays the same there throughout the week. But
ooh, I learned Dan Hicks is married to Hannah Storm. Huh.
Oh, really?
The more you know.
I did not know that.
Good for him.
Oh, broadcasting family. So anyway, you wanted to get you aware of that so you won't have any Hello Friends this week. And so okay, back to the golf. All right. They're going to Brookline, Nick, for the first time since 1988. It's up in Massachusetts outside of Boston. This place has hosted the 1999 Ryder Cup, but the last big event was the 2013 USAM. So really these players don't have any familiarity with this course. They really haven't played anything up there. So it's a different course. Now this is a short track for a US Open, par 70, just under 7,300 yards. But the greens are very, very, very small, and they'll be firm and fast with huge rough, typical U.S. Open layout. The driver's going to be less important than other U.S. Opens. Like the COVID year, Bryson won at Winged Foot, and it was very much just hit the piss out of it off the tee, try to have a good second shot, and that's how he gained strokes on everybody and won. This one is not going to be like that. There's going to be a good amount of dog legs. You're going to have blind shots. So really getting on the green, whoever gains the most strokes to get to the green is going to be the most important. But due to the short length of driver, it's not going to be important. So approach is huge this week. Will Zalatoris is the best approach player on the field. He's number one in strokes gain approach. We know his major form. He's 30-1 to win. Yeah, you've got some value there. He's not in my official picks, but if you're looking for a guy, a safe bet, like a top 10, a top 20 bet on Zalatoris feels like a good bet with his major pedigree.
Yeah.
His approach.
I've looked at his last, so he's made, I want to say 10, it's either nine, I think it's nine major starts and all but one, he missed the cut at last year's US Open. And he's been top 10 in every other one. So
yeah,
I mean, it's.
I fully expect him to be in the mix on Sunday.
He's good for your lineups when you're doing your teams because I don't think he's a top 10 player in the world either. So he's got decent odds.
Yeah, my pick to win here, though, Nick. If you kind of look at recent winners, they're all like 28 or younger, and it's guys near the top, you know, top of the rankings for the most part. Cameron Smith, number 6 in the world, he just won the Players. He was firmly in the mix at Augusta, and this course is going to play, I think, similar to the Masters, where it's a second shot course. This
guy can
get white hot. He can get white hot with the putter. We've shown him he's played well on the big stage, and I think you're getting good value with him right here. So he's my pick to win 22-1. I also think a top 10 or top 20 play for him would be very smart. The last time they played at this course, Nick, was the USAM. Matthew Fitzpatrick won that US Amateur. Matthew Fitzpatrick, top 25 in strokes gained approach. He had a T5 finish at the PGA. He had a T14 at the Masters. He's one of the better players who hasn't won a major. I like him to be up there. I locked him in for a top 10 finish at 3-1. Now, if you're looking for – if you're asking Adam, who's going to be the Mito Pereira of this tournament? I've got two guys I like here. Aaron Wise is another young golfer. He's 25 years old. He's now a top 50 player in the world. He's made 13 of 17 cuts this year, Nick. He's got 8 top 25 finishes. He's long off the tee, but he's good in approach. He's top 16 in approach. I locked him in for a top 40 finish at plus odds. I think he's a sneaky guy you could see in the top 10. Like, he fits the metrics this week. He fits the younger player. He's played well all season. I mean, he's been in the mix at a lot of tournaments. He hasn't done it the big tournaments yet, but it seems like only a matter of time. Russell Henley, go ahead.
Repeat that one more time for our folks out there.
Aaron Wise, ranked 16th in approach.
Aaron Wise.
He's played at his college golf at Oregon. 13 of 17 made cuts, 8 top 25 finishes, has, I think, 4 top 10s.
Not too shabby.
He's going to be a guy on this tour here in 2 to 3 years that's going to be one of the better players.
I hope it's a wise choice.
Yeah. And then the next one, Russell Henley, number 2 in strokes gained approach. This guy was in the final group last year at Augusta – or not, excuse me, Augusta at the U.S. Open. He's kind of made for these U.S. Open. 3 consecutive top 30 finishes, Nick, at the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
I locked him in for top 20, finished plus 210. So that's really what I'm looking at here. I'm looking for younger golfers who are good in approach but also have, you know, also aren't duds off the tee, even though that's not a huge metric this week. Obviously, you're going to have a hot putter to win, but what we're really going to gain is, since these greens are so small, is just the efficiency with your second shot, just getting on the dance floor there and then making putts.
You mentioned that it isn't so different than Augusta.
I think scoring could be up a little bit. Usually you see a minus 3 winner. I wouldn't be surprised if you get a winner like minus 9 this week.
I'm also curious how – I mean, JT's been playing well. As of late, he's been pretty hot. Him and Rory both. I know Rory.
The back-to-back major stuff is just hard to do.
Yeah.
Win 2 in a row is hard. I mean, Brooks did it, but that's really, really hard. I'm team fade on that. Obviously, there's some stuff with JT, like, of recent form that you could believe in. Rory McIlroy's kind of the same way. I think there's going to be a lot of people on him this week.
And Rory was playing well, too, at the PGA and then kind of fell apart. You know, he
had one bad round, and then, like he does always, he dropped a 67 or 66 on Sunday. And then you thought for a second he might tie, go to a playoff. So, for him, it's just going to be avoiding those bad rounds. If he can get in to Saturday, you know, within a couple shots, he's going to have a great shot at winning it.
I got fired up for it because, you know, obviously U.S. Open's great because Father's Day – you can spend the whole day just watching that and dad's going to be happy. But I also got extra fired up because Happy Gilmore's on Netflix.
And yeah, I saw that the other day.
I've realized too, Happy Gilmore isn't what makes that movie funny. It's all Shooter McGavin. Like, Shooter McGavin's trash talk is so, it's so damn funny. There's a one point at the end where he looks at Happy and he goes, "Don't worry, Gilmore, your grandmother can live with me." And just imagining that on the golf course, like that's the kind of trash talk that you wish you could pull out in front of your buddies. To think of it in a tournament scenario is just so hilarious. That's what if you want Liv Golf to be successful, do that, Liv. Let people talk trash like Shooter McGavin and Happy Gilmore out there.
The Liv stuff's interesting. I mean, Rory's being a little chesty in some of these press conferences.
Phil like is said, too on the other end.
Yeah, the Kyle Porter wrote something on Phil, maybe showing some remorse. I haven't read yet, so I'm still trying to get caught up on that. But, like, Rory's take was, like, you know, Phil's old, so I get why he may be doing it. He's had a sorry career, but these young guys doing it are a bunch of punks, pretty much. Like, didn't say that, but that's how it came off. Like, you don't want to, like, play it out here with the best of the best. You want to go over it just for a money grab. So, yeah, I'm interested, like, if he's in the contention and he's, like, he keeps firing off takes on the mic, so we might get, you know, back and forth. And then if Dustin Johnson is in it, you know, he's got to give mum answers After each, that would be interesting. So yeah, the Liv dynamic is.
Oh, we've got ourselves Monday Night Wars, WCW versus WWE. Mm-hmm. So keep them rolling. All in all, it should be a fun weekend to sit back, watch some exciting. Even if we don't get a bunch of PGA versus Liv drama, it's a major. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be super hot.
It's open.
Yeah. And like,
it's actually going to be a little cooler up there. It's going to be 80s the first 2 days, but it's going to be 70s.
Well, I mean, just for us from a watching
standpoint. Oh, yeah.
The weekend, Saturday and Sunday, it's going to get into the 80s. It's going to cool off to 85, which you just hate saying that sentence out loud. But, man, it's also one of those things, too. Like, I want to get out and play. My son's out with his grandparents all weekend. I can't even get outside to play. It's too miserable. Mm-hmm. Too miserable. Just disappointing. Just disappointing. But we're going to have fun. We've enjoyed our last few weeks at camp. Happy to provide you all with plenty of content. Happy to run into some listeners out and about, too, at KS Bar over the last few weeks. We always appreciate you all tuning in and listening to us talk ball year-round. It's golf ball, football, whatever it may be. We love it. We can't get enough of it, and we're glad you're joining us along for this ride.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We've only just begun. We're probably going to have to take maybe a week or so off in July. I got a baby on the way.
Be here before you know it.
But it's going to be right around media days time. So you and Freddie
will have, plenty.
Have some stuff. And I may or may not call in for an emergency podcast.
You're going to be itching.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask saving this?
So just get ready for that. But yeah, I mean, Nick, hell, man. Like, we're halfway through June now.
Yeah.
You know, the season is
80 days away,
almost 2 months away, right? Mm-hmm. So it's flying by, and camp will be starting in less than like a month and a half. Mm. So you got to get, we got big recruiting weekends these next two, then it'll slow down there at the beginning of July, but then that's when all the preseason content starts flowing. So things are moving, man. Things are moving
really fast. As always, enjoy the summer while you can. Stay cool. Go Cats and go Kroger.